Today on Straight Talk Africa, the 25th African Union Summit is over. We'll discuss and analyze what the meeting accomplished, or whether, as observers say, it was more on style and less on substance. That's coming up next, right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. It's Wednesday, June 17th. I am Shaka Sali.
Well, hello to you, Shaka, and hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Mariama Diallo, your social media reporter.
Today, we'll talk about the significance of the recent African Union Summit held in Johannesburg.
And coming up later in our STA inbox, we'll share some thoughts from our audience who had a lot to say on the topic via emails, tweets, and Facebook comments. Hope you'll stay with us.
But first, African leaders wrestled with several persistent issues at the summit: regional security and Africa's long-term development goals, pledging to fulfill Agenda 2063 plan with its official theme, marking the year of women's empowerment. My colleague, Paul Sisko, has more.
The summit in Johannesburg opened, as they all do, with hope and ceremony. South African President Jacob Zuma hosted the event.
The 25th Ordinary Summit of the African Union provides us the specific opportunity to express our resolve on the challenges and opportunities Africa is experiencing.
The official theme at the gathering of African leaders was the Year of Women's Empowerment and Development. Angelina Jolie was speaking in her capacity as Special Envoy to the UN High Commissioner for Refugees.
There is a global epidemic of violence against women, both within conflict zones and within societies at peace. You can make protecting and empowering women the priority that it has to be.
Noted attendees at the summit included the Republic of Congo's President, Deni Sassou Nguesso, Nigeria's newly elected President Muhammadu Buhari, and provoking international concern and controversy, Sudan's President Omar al-Bashir. Bashir is wanted by the International Criminal Court for crimes against humanity in Darfur. U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs, Linda Thomas-Greenfield.
We have supported the efforts of the ICC, who have issued a warrant for arrest against President Bashir. And we have encouraged African countries and other countries who are signatories to the ICC to turn him over for prosecution. Those people who were the victims of genocide and others who have suffered in Sudan deserve the opportunity to get justice.
Despite a South African court order, Bashir was granted the same immunity all summit attendees received, and the Sudanese president attended several events unhindered. And he arrived back in Khartoum Monday to cheers of support. Other issues discussed at the summit: economic development, security concerns, and a worsening African refugee situation. The AU called for the postponement of Burundi's July 15th presidential election and negotiations between President Pierre Nkurunziza's government and opposition groups opposed to the third-term bid.
Well, we are very, very concerned about the situation, the ongoing situation in Burundi. Our policy is clear. We do not support presidents seeking to extend their period in office by changing the constitution. For democracy to thrive, we think there should be change of governments, transitions in governments on a regular basis.
Robert Mugabe is serving his seventh term as president of Zimbabwe and has been in power there since 1980. And as this year's chairman of the African Union, he closed the summit, pledging the AU will defeat militant extremists by confronting terrorists collectively and pressing for dialogue to resolve intrastate conflicts. Paul Sisko, VOA News.
Thanks, Paul, for that report. Now, joining us here in our Washington studios are two distinguished guests, Rosemary Seguero, founder and chief executive of Hope for Tomorrow, an international non-governmental organization founded in 2008. Its goal is to provide education and advocacy support for human rights, women's rights, and the prevention of conflict and violence. And Reverend Dr. Isaac Mwase, founding president of the Friends of Baptists in Zimbabwe, a non-profit organization founded in 2002. Its mission is to support Baptists and the disadvantaged among the people of Zimbabwe as they deal with the economic challenges. He previously served as a professor of bioethics and philosophy at Tuskegee University in the southern U.S. state of Alabama. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have to say I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the two of you on Straight Talk Africa for the first time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're most welcome. Later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guests. The number to call is 202-619-3111, and the U.S. country code is 1. But before we begin today's discussion, let's get an update on what transpired during the AU summit. And for that, I am joined by my colleague Anita Powell, Voice of America's Southern Africa correspondent, who joins us via Skype from Johannesburg, the city of gold. Good evening, Anita.
Hi, Shaka. Thank you so much.
You're most welcome. I know that, of course, you covered the summit and you have covered several other summits before. How would you compare and contrast the 25th summit with the previous ones that you attended?
That's a great question, Shaka. Now, I have to make the distinction that the summits that I covered before in Addis Ababa were before the Arab Spring. And what's essential about that point is I feel that the summits from 2007 to 2009 that I covered were extremely open compared to this one. There were a lot of issues at this summit that I feel were very sensitive. We're talking about Burundi, we're talking about the process in South Sudan, we're talking about the presence of Omar al-Bashir. And simply put, there were leaders who I've spoken to many times in the past at summits, one-on-one, who were very forthcoming, who just were not at this summit. I think there's definitely been a closing of that space, and leaders were extremely reluctant to talk to the media. And we were, of course, the only, you know, impartial observers there. So by refusing to talk to the media, they were essentially refusing to talk to all of you who are watching.
So what do you think was the dynamic, was the reason behind this particular summit, which you characterize as having actually been quote-unquote closed, as compared to previous ones, which you say were more open?
Well, there was a lot of tension. On the first official day when all the heads of state arrived, the opening ceremony was delayed by 5 hours. And what we heard, the scuttlebutt that we heard in the corridor, was that all of the heads of state were locked up on the fifth floor discussing what to do with Omar al-Bashir and how to handle the fact that he was there. I think that was a really sensitive situation that they felt the need to discuss privately, and that led to this tension in the air.
In fact, Anita, there has been a lot of complaints from the African audience that the Western media tended to focus on the issue of Sudanese President Omar Bashir with the ICC, as opposed, perhaps in their view, to the more important issues which were discussed in Johannesburg. How do you react to that?
Well, as I said, that really did dominate a lot of the workings of the summit. They were locked up upstairs talking about Omar al-Bashir. It was definitely a focus for the African leaders who were there. The few who did talk to us brought it up. Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma brought it up. Robert Mugabe brought it up. And in South Africa, where we already have quite a tense political atmosphere, it was huge news. So I'm afraid it did hijack, for lack of a better word, the proceedings of the summit. And also, to be fair, the other issues that they were talking about, Burundi, the crisis in South Sudan, women's empowerment, and the migration crisis that we're seeing now off the coast of Libya, these are not problems with easy solutions. These are not problems with quick solutions. And so they're not maybe as attractive or as easy to explain as, this guy is here, has an arrest warrant, what are we going to do?
So, Anita, besides the issue of Omar Bashir, if someone were to ask you, really, what would you think was the highlight, really, of the summit, what would you say?
Right. Well, I think that would be obvious, Shaka. It was the dazzling, impressive, and beautiful presence of American movie star Angelina Jolie, who made a really frank and moving appeal to end gender violence around the world, especially in Africa. I will say, actually, she was on a panel with a lot of distinguished women, including the Sierra Leonean UN representative on this issue. And some of them made some really excellent points, but of course, we were all dazzled by her beauty and by the fact that she even bothered to come. So I would say that that was definitely the highlight.
Yeah, the Sierra Leonean lady was perhaps Mrs. Bangula.
That's exactly who I was thinking of, yes. And she told some brutal stories about the way that women are treated, both in Africa and around the world. And they were just really, really devastating stories. And they were worth hearing. It was good that they were out there in that forum.
What about what you'd characterize as the low lights during the summit, Anita?
I think you've already brought that up, Shaka. I mean, quite obviously, to our audience and also to those of us who were covering it, it was this tension over Omar al-Bashir's presence. It was frankly awkward. I mean, we had journalists running around the building trying to find out where he was at any given moment because we weren't sure if he was going to stay in South Africa or fly away. So
What about the issue of Zimbabwean President Robert Gabriel Mugabe being the chairman of the 25th African Union Summit? There is a lot, of course, of criticism and opposition to him, especially against him from the West. But it looks like he's also loved a lot by people on the continent. Did you notice that?
Right. Well, as you know, the reputation that Robert Mugabe enjoys in this part of the right. Well, he's seen very differently in some parts of this continent. I think it's really worth remembering that he was jailed for 11 years. He was a liberation fighter. He's the first post-independence leader of Zimbabwe, and he stood up to a powerful force. That's the British. And so it does make sense that a lot of people see him, especially other African leaders, as a first among equals, as a leader, as a visionary. And I think he does enjoy that reputation. As for the fact that he is the AU chairman, it can get interesting sometimes because, as you know, sometimes his positions on AU issues differ from the AU's official position. He wasn't really clear on what he thought about Burundi, but he didn't seem to think it was a big deal, whereas the AU's position on presidents running for third terms or changing the constitution to run for third terms is very clear. They're against it, whereas Mugabe is not, or it's really not clear. So there is that sort of disconnect. But otherwise, I don't think we can deny that he is thoroughly African, and he is, whether some people like him or not, a voice worth at least listening to, I think, on this continent.
Thank you very much, Anita, for that report.
Thank you.
To learn more about the summit, we are joined by Elastus Mwencha, the deputy chairperson for the AU Commission. Good evening, Mr. Mwencha. Mr. Mwencha, can you hear me?
Shaka, thank you very much.
Oh, you're most welcome, sir. How have you been?
Very well, and how have you been?
How would you characterize the AU summit from your vantage point?
Well, first of all, this is a regular summit. But this summit, of course, like any other summit, had a specific and items that were discussed and also reviewed a lot of programs that are going on in the African Union. And also agreed on the way forward. Perhaps to start with, I should tell you that the summit looked at, issues of development, particularly what is the summit also considered the issues of migration and how we should address really the triggers and the challenges that face our young men and women that are drowning in the Mediterranean. The summit looked at peace and security issues. The summit also looked at global issues. As you know, that at the General Assembly this year, they will be adopting the new goals on post-2015 development agenda, under which there will also be sustainable development goals. And as you know, the African Union has also drafted, which is very much in line with sustainable development goals, it's Agenda 2063. And so out of that, the summit has also developed first 10 years of implementation and the full of discussions, but also implementation activities and the way forward.
I'm afraid that we're experiencing some difficulties with the line, but you mentioned something very important, and that is the migrations, especially the Africans trying to cross the Mediterranean going to Europe. What specific resolutions did you come with in order to figure out, frankly, how to stop the forces that push?
Yes. The key area is, first of all, to look at how to create an environment that creates jobs, that gives space, especially for the young people, to participate in economic and also development. Because if you look at the young men and the women that are living in the continent, there is a lot of criminal element in it. Those that come and paint a very good picture, give them young people false hopes, but then a lot of them end up dying even as they cross the Sahel before they even reach the Mediterranean. But we also looked at issues of the pull factors and also issues of human rights. But once these, people have been cheated and they are on the shores, they should be treated with the dignity, with humanitarian issues, and that we should, as a first step, create a mechanism for giving good information at a good standing so that we don't see these young men and women living in droves as they do.
I see. Final question. What about the more important issue of women empowerment? What did you resolve?
Sorry, the line is not so clear. Could you come again, please, Shaka?
I was talking about, did you resolve anything in particular in as far as the issue on the agenda, the important issue of women empowerment?
Yes, that was the theme of the summit. And with regards to women empowerment, the summit agreed to develop a scorecard that looks at various elements. And the skills, which is really the tool that would enable women to participate gainfully, economically, but also be empowered. Secondly, how the women should also access resources like land, like capital, but also how governance should also involve women, appointment of women in political positions, but also in management positions. So it was quite extensive in that area. But the key element is coming up with a scorecard that should enable countries to look at how they are performing in the various terms as far as women integration, women empowerment is concerned.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Mwencha. Let's stop right there. And I'd like to thank Mr. Elastus Mwencha, the Deputy Chairperson for the African Union Commission, for sharing his perspective of the summit with us today. Now we'll pause for a short break and would like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now on the social networking site, website, Twitter. And we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka. That's VOA Shaka. And join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOAAUSummit. And we are still on Facebook. Just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa. Become a fan and connect with other friends of the Voice of America. We'll be right back with you, so please, don't go away.
The African Union was first envisioned at a 1999 summit in Libya. It later replaced the Organization of African Unity, which was created in 1963. The AU Constitution was entered into force in May 2001, and the group was formally established in July 2002. The African Union is a partnership between governments and all segments of African civil society, particularly women, youth, and the private sector. The African body has 54 member states, and its newest member is South Sudan, which became independent on July 2011. The only African state that is not a member is Morocco.
I wanted to present music and a side of American culture that is most important to me, that is a part of who I am. They're going to get some incredible performances. That's one of the things I love, bringing these artists in so you can get to see them do what they do. It's soul music, and that's what music is. It's that which comes from the soul.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gidiu Ewart, and welcome back. And today we are talking about the significance of the African Union Summit held in Johannesburg. Our distinguished guests are Rosemary Segero, founder and chief executive of Hope for Tomorrow, an international non-government organization founded in 2008. Its goal is to provide education and advocacy support for human rights, women's rights, and the prevention of conflict and violence. And the Reverend Dr. Isaac Mwase, founding president of the Friends of Baptists in Zimbabwe, a nonprofit organization founded in 2002. Its mission is to support Baptists and the disadvantaged among the people of Zimbabwe as they deal with the economic challenges. He previously served as a professor of bioethics and philosophy at Tuskegee University in Alabama. Well, I have to say once again, Rosemary and Isaac, that I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you on Straight Talk Africa for the first time.
Thank you.
You're most welcome.
It's a pleasure to join you.
How does it feel to be on Straight Talk Africa?
It's fine. It's talking about African issues.
African issues. And I know that you have obviously been very, very assertive, especially with issues dealing with women's rights. I remember you were, in fact, taking on the chairperson of the African Union Commission herself, Dramini, Dr. Dramini Zuma. Yeah. And you seem to have reached an understanding of sorts that we are supposed to be working together.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
So you're working together now?
No, we're not working together. We're still waiting and looking at the meeting in South Africa. They talked about women empowerment. Mm-hmm. We hope, as you know, African women are very powerful, and African women are the backbone of the families and the communities. So I believe if women are empowered from right from the rural areas up to the high level, that would be very important. We want to look at inclusion, all women.
In fact, I was looking at some World Bank studies and other academic studies which suggest that when you look at women as a market, for example, they actually rank the third in the world after China and India. Mm-hmm. And yet, society doesn't, frankly, seem to give them the kind of attention that they deserve. What do you think about the proceedings that went on in Johannesburg, the seat of gold?
the proceedings that went on in Johannesburg, they talked more of women and financial tools. I think women being empowered in Africa, getting resources to help themselves, mm-hmm. but getting into politics and being on the table. But we want all women, right from, because my focus is right in the rural areas, we want all women to be included. And that's why we focus on training and education with that. And then we give them the actual tools, which is financial, after mm-hmm. they are trained, mm-hmm. and then looking at vocational training, we train them. And then when you give them the money, the African women know what to do. They are women who have lived on the farm. They are women who know what they are doing. It's only a push. And that small push is alternative. What do we do to these women? What can we give them?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What about the idea by the chairman, the chairperson, in fact, of the African Commission, Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma, who has talked about launching the mechanized handheld till, and actually announced that the handheld hoe, the traditional hoe that all of us have known and perhaps have used, mm-hmm. should in fact be discarded to the museum. The hoe that supports the average peasant African woman farmer.
So they wanted to take it to the
museum, because they need to tap into modern technology.
Modern technology.
Yeah, so that you can make the woman peasant farmer more productive.
Mr. Shekhar, as I've said and I've told you, the African women just have the know-how. They just need that support. Taking a hoe and giving them alternative, that would be good. And the alternative is financial resources, electronics, machineries of farming. Mm. And at the end of the day, they'll need education for all that, even in financial education, the farming, the machineries. You know, as I say, African women don't need that. They just need a push. So even taking the horse from them, we hope between now, we want to help women now. We want to empower women now. So women need empowerment and they need support. That's why I focus in the rural areas, looking at the really actual women, where the farmers are. Farmers are in the rural area. So if these women are supported financially, machinery, even if there's new technology, which is enterprise education. So we just want all women empowered.
It's very interesting, of course, that you mentioned rural women. There has been some criticism that African women who go to school, go to universities, get degrees and get very professional positions, you know, both locally and internationally, sometimes tend to be very elitist. They tend to be elitist and pretty much there is a sort of disconnect, critics say, yes. between them and the rural woman that you are talking about.
Yes.
Is that your experience from what you have been doing?
I was born in Kenya, in the rural area.
Where specifically? In
Western Kenya, Kakamega.
Kakamega, you know, very beautiful place by Mount Elgon.
I was born in Kakamega. Mm-hmm. I've grew up on the farm. My mother is still on the farm, doing what she used to do, potatoes, cassava, and everything, keeping chicken. So all these...
And bananas.
You can never get them out of them.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about going to do research for women who have lived on the farm, and here you're trying to say we empower them, how are we empowering them? So many people have intended, even investors, don't think there's something in the rural area. That's why I'm focusing more on rural area and on agriculture that they know very well more than anything else.
Very interesting, Rosemary. Unfortunately, time happens not to be our best ally. We have to go and come back to you later. You're tuned in to Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of our discussion in a moment. But first, here is Mariama Jallo. Take it away, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. Still to come, we'll reveal some of the very passionate feedback we've received from our audience through social media. But now, here is our letter of the week.
In our letter of the week, Liberator Edgar Ogutu from Nairobi in Kenya writes, "As a young African, I feel disappointed by the representatives of the African Union who have for many years played the role of a protectorate. The AU continues its engagement with corrupt and impotent